Welcome to WP Coffee Talk with your podcast barista, Michelle Frechette. Special thanks to our sponsors, WS Form and Beaver Builder. If you're interested in joining WP Coffee Talk as a guest or a sponsor, please visit our site at wpcoffeetalk.com. And now, on with the show. Welcome to the next episode of WP Coffee Talk. I'm Michelle Frechette, your podcast barista, serving up the WordPress stories from around the world. And today, I never asked you how to pronounce your name, so I hope I'm not going to slaughter your name. But today, my guest is Mark Benzekin. He's the marketing lead at Main WP. And please tell me I said your name somewhat correctly.
Well, you said Mark exactly 100% correctly. So
pronounce your last awesome name for me.
Job. It's Smith.
No, Smith. Oh, gosh.
Yeah. It's just spelled. No, it's actually Benzekane. So it sounds like
Benzekane. Okay.
Yeah. But I
will remember that.
Benzekane. I get Benzekane and Benzekine a lot. And then there, I remember growing up, my dad is a university professor, and there was another professor who was lived up the street from us and grew up around him. He just called us Benzekin, and he did it like throughout our life, and he was the only one. So if I ever heard him, but yeah.
Well, trust me, with the last name Frechette, it gets slaughtered all the time. Sure, and yeah. in the upcoming release for this might already be out by or might not be out by that point, but the 6.4 release for WordPress, I am on the marketing and communications team. And I was proofing down through the announcement that's going to go out. I don't know which jazz artist. It just says jazz artist on what we have so far. But anyway, my name, I'm on the team and my name was misspelled. So I had to correct my own name. So I get it. So I apologize for mispronouncing your name. I was close. I was close.
don't even worry about it. I mean, you know me. You and I have known each other for a bit. You know me as Mark. I know you as Michelle.
Exactly.
I assume Frechette is a French last name, isn't it?
It is. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So my dad was a French professor. So I always, when I look at it, see Frechette. So
yeah.
I was just trying to think about how do you mispronounce that? But I guess people could say Frechette.
They put an N in it. They just add an N and they constantly pronounce it Frechette, even though there's no N.
Really?
I took a class in college. I was a religion and philosophy major back then. Mm-hmm. I took a class in college with a man who taught Greek and an Old Testament. And I was in his Old Testament class. And the first day he's doing roll call, we're all just kind of chatting, waiting to, you know, with each other. And he's calling last names of people like raise their hand here, whatever. And so the guy next to me, he goes, I think he's calling you. He was calling Frechette.
Frechette. Yeah.
It's French, not Italian. But anyway.
Yeah.
Well, for it's those.
It's funny you bring up. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, so for those people who aren't familiar with you, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Well, my name is Mark Benzekane, and I am working. I actually have kind of. I wear two hats. I do marketing for Main WP, and then I also represent Site District, which is a small managed WordPress host. And then I do a little bit of life coaching, and I've been in WordPress for 13 years now. Prior to this, until last year, I was one of the team members that had and ran ServerPress, which was a local development platform. And we did that for quite a while. Really, really enjoyed that. And then I took a couple months out of WordPress and then came back because you all go back home, right?
So, that's right. Yeah. Well, we have a lot of things to dig into in the middle part where we just do some open conversation because I got a lot of questions. I got a lot of things I want to talk about with you because, we'll get to there later. But let me go through some of our introductory questions first.
Sure,
tell us about your mug and what are you drinking? So give us.
So my mug, I'm a big fan of supporting local business. I come to a co-work where I do work. That way I can keep my work and home life separate generally. Mm-hmm. And it's a cohort called the Daily Desk.
Oh, clever.
And, And it is a place. It's a place I discovered because I had my office at the house, and I said to Gina, I said, I want to put a whiteboard up here, so that I can, whiteboard things out. And she's like, we are not going to have a whiteboard
I've never met her, but I love her
in
already.
our house. Yeah. She just looked at me and she's like, I am not, we are not having a
No.
whiteboard in our house. And I'm like, I really need to find a co-working place because and so that day, I looked. And the other thing is, I've been working from home since 1997, essentially.
Okay, yeah.
So, when we went through COVID and all that, it was not really a big deal to work from home. And most of us already know,
Right.
the work from home culture. But I did realize that I wanted that separation. And the thing that I like about working in a co-work is you've got all the water cooler and none of the politics, right?
Yeah.
So you get to meet people, you get to network, and you have all these creatives and all these people from all around everywhere. And you form, you bond with these people and you form like these friendships and things like that. And you don't have the politics of, oh, well, they're not doing their job, or, I'm having to cover for, all the stuff that goes along with, the negative stuff that goes along with going into an office. And so this is a very nice facility here. I'm very lucky that, we live in this small town of Fairfield, California, which is, kind of in the Napa Valley, San Francisco Bay Area. We're a little bit north of that, a little east or a little bit west of Sacramento. And I thought I'd be lucky to find any kind of co-working space. And this is actually a world-class co-working space. We have meeting rooms. I'm sitting in a podcast room right now
Nice.
that they have. There's a massage chair. They just got a sauna in here. There's a gym, all the things. The kitchen, they keep it loaded with snacks, which is not necessarily a good thing, but and then they have
Right.
a coffee machine that'll make every kind of coffee and it grinds it fresh and everything. And anyway,
Oh, so
so
I'd be
that's the
spoiled
daily
there.
desk. Yeah, it is a place. It is my home away from home. I definitely recommend it if you happen to be in the area. I actually have been thinking about starting a WordPress meetup here because we have a great big
Nice.
huge training room, and
Nice,
I
yeah.
get all of that included with my thing. So
Oh,
anyway,
that's fantastic.
with my monthly bill. So
That's
yeah.
awesome. What's in your cup?
My cup is a cup of coffee,
How do you
just
take it?
straight black coffee.
Straight black. Well, my
Yeah.
mug today is, I think anybody that knows me well knows that
Wonder.
I'm a big Wonder Woman fan. So I've got my sparkly Wonder. This one was from Terry Tuttich. She sent me that for my birthday several years ago. And today is coffee with what is it called? Coconut cream. So,
Okay.
yep, that's what I've got.
So Gina would like you too because she's a Wonder Woman fan as well.
Oh,
So,
cool. Well, I'll have to
and
meet her
she is.
someday.
I keep telling her she needs to dress up as Wonder Woman for Halloween one year. I mean, I know that, but she looks like her too. So it actually
There you
wouldn't be
go.
that hard to, to pull it
Oh, that's
off. Yeah.
awesome. I love it. I have a on one of my other chairs, I have a cape that goes across the back of your chair. It's a chair cape that's a Wonder Woman cape that was a
Oh,
gift
that's cool.
also.
That's
So
cool.
yeah, I should put it on the
Yeah,
back of
that
my
is cool.
scooter. Maybe for WordCamp US next year,
That
I'll
would
have
be awesome. That
my
would be
cape.
awesome.
That'd
Yeah.
be a lot
And
of
then if you
fun.
could turbo, if you could turbo, what you should do is do the scooter and then plug a fan into it. So when you're driving it
Oh,
around, the fan goes up and the cape. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, so many ideas, so many ideas.
Yeah.
Well, so you said about 13 years ago, how did you get started in WordPress?
That's a very long story. I'll try to give you the Reader's Digest shortened version.
condensed.
Yeah, the condensed version. Essentially, I had been in technology pretty much my whole life. I had a friend, I was living in Wisconsin. I had a friend in California who's going through a divorce. And I was talking to him and I said, what is it you'd like to do with your life? What do you want to do next? He says, I go to these motorcycle swap meets and they sell Harley parts. I'll buy them and then I'll, clean them up and I'll sell them on eBay and I'll make some money. He says, I'd like to turn that into like a legitimate business. And I'm like, okay, how would we go about doing that? And he said, well, if you go to dealerships, they generally have a back room full of obsolete parts, custom parts that they've taken off of motorcycles, like tanks and fenders and seats and things like that, and all these things. And they've got a pile of them because they've done custom work, and they'll just sell it to you in a lot, you know, for X amount of dollars. You go and you make an offer, and I'm like, okay, let's try that. You know, I knew nothing about motorcycles at the time. I was
Okay.
fascinated with them, but and I used to ride one years ago, but you know, I was not like a big Harley guy, other than I thought they were cool. And I was in Wisconsin, so of course, you know, Harley-Davidson is based in Wisconsin. And so I said, you know what, we have an empty house up here. Why don't you come up here if you can deal with the cold of northern Wisconsin, you know. And we started this business out of the house, and we were liquidating on eBay, and it worked really well until eBay changed their fees. And I got to thinking about it. I said, you know, there's got to be a way that I can like leverage business off of my competitors. I'm like, what if I set up some affiliate pages? And this was back before eBay, I mean, before Google changed their algorithm, so duplicate content wasn't an issue and all that stuff.
Right.
I forgot what they called it, Penguin or something like that. I don't, anyway. And so, so I was like, okay, well, I could build a site out myself that reads in an eBay feed based on keywords and something like that, but there has to be something out there that I could just like do this. I came into WordPress because I found this plugin at the time called PHP Bay Pro, which is a plugin for WordPress. And so it was $49 for this plugin. I then was like, okay, well, I thought WordPress was just blogging, just like everybody, you know, who gets into WordPress thinks. And I had a server, I had a rack that I had built, and I, you know, because I'm always tinkering and all that stuff. I had a rack and a server. And within a couple hours, I had figured WordPress out. I had the plugin running. I had, and then another hour later, I had this full Harley site that was reading in, you know, using my affiliate code from eBay. And I'm like, we don't have to clean up parts. We don't have to store inventory. We don't have to catalog this stuff, because we had parts that would date back to the 40s, World War II era, and trying to find what machine it would fit. And I mean, these parts would sell for a lot of money, but they were for a very specific purpose. So they'd sit on the shelf for a long time, you know, that kind of stuff. And so I put up this affiliate site, and literally within a week, we were making more money off of my eBay affiliate that I had created with WordPress, that I'm like, I'm gonna do more sites. So I did a photography site. That was my next site, was like camera, you know, and then jewelry and then watches and then all these things that I see your cat's tail. Anyway, he's waving at me. And so I had all these sites that I had built, and I was able to do that for about a year or so, and it was going really well. And I was like, this is the easiest money I've ever made. And I've done some things where I made some easy money in the past, and that was, you know, this was even easier. And then all of a sudden Google changed their algorithms. And the minute they changed their algorithms, you know, our traffic dwindled, because
Stopped.
I wasn't going and creating content. I wasn't doing anything. I was doing, but out of that, I realized that that WordPress was far more than just a blogging platform. And so I thought, you know what, I can go into the website building business. And so coincidentally, Greg Franklin, who was one of my partners at ServerPress, but Greg and I go way back to 1987. I
Oh,
always say
wow.
Greg and I are the longest partnership in WordPress. You know, we have been best friends, we have been partners, we have been through wars together, you know, as you're going to over a period of 30 some years. And I, you know, I hadn't talked to Greg in a little while, and I called him up and I said, hey, I'm doing WordPress. He says, that's weird. I'm doing WordPress too. Maybe we should do it together. And I'm like, okay. Well, it turned out he was far more advanced in WordPress than I was, because I was just using it for this one very specific thing. He had gotten into like theme building or theme customization, and you know, getting into the code and all of that stuff. And I'm like, install a plugin, configure, boom. No, that was like me, right? And he's also more artistic than I am, so I'm not really a great designer. And so we, you know, we started like talking every single day, and we get in these, at the time it was Google Hangouts or whatever it was, I don't even remember, where we'd share screen and he'd show me, and he was kind of like showing me some of the things and how WordPress worked and all that. And Greg is like a fantastic teacher. I mean, he loves to teach people, he loves to help people and all of that. And so so that's how I got into WordPress. And it was just kind of this, you know, I don't know if this is typical of everybody, but it was kind of this backdoor kind of way of getting into WordPress. You know, I needed it to scratch an itch, and it scratched the itch that I had, and then I discovered there was more to it. So anyway.
I think a lot of us have very similar stories to that, where it's like, we needed a solution, we found the solution, and then we found a career and a community and friends, and like it's kind of like, it's just unlike anything else I've ever been a part of, for sure. When you think about websites in general, sites you've seen, sites you've built, what do you think is something that we as web builders, developers, designers don't focus enough attention on that would make our sites better for our end users?
That's a good question, and I know that this is a very generic answer, and I'm also the world's biggest offender when it comes to this, but just UX. I mean, I think people, I think developers in particular, engineers in particular, they think in terms of functionality, but they don't think in terms of intuitive kind of where do you go from here? Where do you go from here? Where do you go from here? And to people like me who like to tinker, that doesn't bother me. But Gina, my girlfriend, you know, she is not super technology driven. You know, she uses it as a tool and nothing else. And so I watch her struggle with things. You know, she's in the medical profession, and I watch her get on these medical systems that have these terrible, terrible user interfaces, or things are buried, you know, 50, and I have to go in and figure out where it is. And then, you know, and for just about everything, she'll pull out a sheet of paper and she'll write down like 10 steps in order to get to one thing that she wants to do, to chart a patient or something like that. And I think that I think that's the biggest thing. And I know it's, like I said, a generic answer, but if you
No,
can't
it makes
make it
sense.
easy, it doesn't matter how fast your website is, it doesn't matter how secure your website is, it
Or how
doesn't
pretty it
matter
is,
or how pretty it is. I'm not a pretty, I mean, I don't care about pretty, I care about functionality, right? I always say to people, to me, the ideal web page is text. It's just nothing but text with links, and you just click on what you want. I don't need all the pictures. I don't need all the pretty buttons. I don't, but I know that I also, that's just me, right? I recognize that that's, you know, I like to tinker. I don't mind if it takes me an extra 5 minutes to figure something out, but I know that other people in general, I know that people just like, I want to get on, I want to get to where I'm going, you know,
I have often said
and
that one of the ugliest websites and yet the easiest to navigate and the best UX for me is Amazon. Like, it's not a pretty website. You don't go there, I'm like, wow, this is gorgeous. But the function on it, I can find whatever I need because boom, it's right there. Makes sense, you know?
And the antithesis of that is Craigslist, which is a big old mess, but people use it because they get good deals. So there's a payoff somewhere, but
For sure. Craigslist isn't a pretty website either, but it's the function works, right? It just works. So,
yeah, it's functional. It's a text. You know, and I look at it and go, this works for me, you know.
What's something that you wish you had known earlier in your WordPress journey that would have made things so much simpler? Once you actually knew what it was, you're like, God, I just wish I'd known about this way earlier than I did.
It's not a thing per se. It's not a function per se. It really is just the community. I did not realize how thriving the com, and this was once again back in 2010, 11, somewhere in there. And I had been just kind of tooling along with WordPress, you know, with Greg, Greg was the one who said, "Hey, WordCamp San Diego is coming up this year. You should fly out here and I'll buy you the ticket. I'll buy you the ticket to get in WordPress." Well, I'm thinking it's a conference. I don't like
Right.
conferences.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, that seems fair. He buys me a ticket to a conference, I buy the airline ticket. Of course, the airline ticket was $350. I didn't realize the ticket to the WordCamp was like $25 at the time. So he
Right.
definitely got the better end of the deal on that. But that was when I discovered the community. And I had always been a big believer in the idea of community. I just had never found a community where I felt like people can build each other up and people can build themselves up by building other people up and by giving of themselves. And so WordCamp San Diego really was my introduction to the community. And I wish that, and it was, I had been in WordPress for about a year, so it wasn't like way down the road,
Yeah.
but I will tell you that I wish I had discovered it,
Sooner, yeah.
right off the bat, because there are just so many amazing people, not just smart, but generous, right? And
Yeah.
so and it create and it was this environment that was created that made me want to contribute immediately, even though I didn't feel I had anything to contribute. And then
Yeah.
lo and behold, you discover through just normal evolution or whatever, you become a contributor.
Yeah.
You get a little comfortable, you get a little bit outside of your comfort zone, and you become a contributor before you know it. And
Yeah.
you become an inspiration to people and things like that. And suddenly before you know it, you're one of those people that people come to. And it's like, that's the coolest thing in the world.
It
So
really
yeah.
is. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I agree for sure. When you think back over those WordCamp experiences, is there like a pivotal moment you could talk about? Something where you either met somebody or learned something that was just this great big aha moment? And can you tell us about what that was?
I would have to say it was once again WordCamp San Diego, that first WordCamp. Two things happened. First, I met Steve Carnum, who was the person who created Desktop Server. And Greg was dealing with an issue on a website that he needed help with. And Steve sat down and helped Greg figure it out. And that was one area where I thought, oh my goodness, this is so cool that you have like this really incredibly gifted, person who normally would charge, hundreds of dollars per hour for his consulting time. And he sat down and just gave of his time freely. And that was eye-opening. I met some really great people at that thing. I mean, the pivotal moment, I don't know, it was one moment. It was just, I met some really great
Yeah.
people. I met Brandon Dove and Jeff Zinn. I met Steve Zingit. I met all these people that I still am friends with after all these years. Steve and I have gone to basketball games together. It has nothing to do with WordPress,
Yeah, yeah.
It's just super cool to like meet some of these people that are just brilliant in their own way and so giving and willing to help grow and grow people. And so yeah,
Yeah.
that was like a really eye-opening moment. That was when I realized that WordPress was more than just a piece of software,
Yeah, absolutely. And I have friends from outside WordPress that are now inside WordPress because I kind of dragged them in with me, like, you gotta meet these people kind of thing. My daughter traveled to WordCamp Europe with me this year, kind of as my travel assistant. You met her. And
I
as
did.
a she met so many people in WordPress that she flew down to WordCamp US. Got a ticket to WordCamp US just so she could see those people again. And now she has a WordPress website for her business, which of course her mother built for her. But so
But
she's
that's it, gotta start somewhere. Yeah.
exactly.
Yeah.
So technically she's a WordPresser now too, I guess. So what is it that you do at Main WP? Tell us a little bit about your work there and what Main WP is.
So Main WP is a managed WordPress dashboard. So you can manage multiple WordPress sites from one dashboard. And there's a really big focus on two things that I really like about it. Well, three things. Okay. One, customer service, which is always for me, I'm not going to put my name or get involved with anything that doesn't put customers first. So customer service is a really big deal. But as far as functionality goes, as far as I know, it's the only 100% plugin. It's not a SaaS. It's just a subscription model, you know, to get your updates and all that. So you control all the data. Okay. So that makes it very private, very secure. It's not on the cloud. It's not anything like that. And excuse me, I have a little frog in my throat.
It's okay.
Maybe if I'm going to drink some water out of my
The
daily
Daily
desk
Desk.
water thing. Yeah. So,
There you go.
so I apologize for that.
No
I don't
worries.
know what's going on. So, so what I really like about it is that it is secure and that you own everything. I think that, you know, from a business standpoint, SaaS models are great, but I think that most of us are getting a little bit of the SaaS fatigue, right? Everything is a SaaS and everything is a monthly fee, or you know, everything is a, you know, and you don't pay it and you lose whatever you had because, you know, it's being stored somewhere else or whatever, or you have to go through the brain damage of making backups or, you know, all of this stuff. And I mean, don't get me wrong, SaaS brings a lot of conveniences, but I think for something like this where you get to control everything and basically you've got this dashboard that you have access to, you can have, we have some customers that have 300 sites that they manage or 350 sites. And it's just very cool. And I met the main WP guys, Dennis and Chris, way back in 2015 at WordCamp Orlando. We both had sponsorship tables right next to each other. They were just getting going. We were just kind of getting, you know, known within the thing. And we formed a friendship, and it was really cool. And so, in answer to your question, I'm handling the marketing efforts. I've just been getting my feet wet. I've been doing that for about a month. And so, you know, learning about what the marketing efforts that they've done in the past and what's worked and what hasn't, looking at the data, getting to know our partners because we have, you know, several premium plugins that we have with the main WP platform. And so getting to know the partners that, you know, either have built these premium plugins or plugins that we've built, you know, for them or whatever. So it's really been a getting to know you kind of period, while at the same time, you know, getting out there and putting out the main
Sure.
WP name and all of that. So
It definitely
that's,
helps when you're part of the community already because you know what
yeah.
people are looking for, you know how to interact with them. I think that working in marketing from being already in the community makes it just so much easier, which is what I do at Stellar WP, you know, so people know me. I
Yeah,
know them.
right.
I know what I've been in the business. I know what I look for. You know, I'm able to
You're
kind of
right.
speak the language. That makes it a little bit easier, I think, for sure. Well, that's
Well,
awesome.
and
Well,
that's one thing. Oh, go ahead. I'm
I was
sorry.
going to say congratulations on your new position is what I was going to say because
Oh,
that's pretty
thank you.
cool.
Well, thank you. Yeah, but that's, I mean, just a little public service announcement. One of the ways that people are successful in WordPress is that they develop their personal brand as well as whatever company they represent. As a
Agreed.
result of having a personal brand, it does make it easier. Now, main WP is kind of a workflow tool, so it falls within what I've already had experience marketing, which is really, you know, a nice fit for me. But yeah, the establishing that personal brand, I would say to anybody, you know, get that going because then, you know, people know what you're about.
Yes.
And so when you represent a company, you bring a certain level of reputation, a certain level of credibility, and all these things with you because people know who you are. Michelle, if you were to, for instance, leave Stellar and, you know, go work at, I'm not going to say anything, but like the worst possible company you could, right?
XYZ
But if
company,
you
yeah.
were, yeah. So, but if you were to go and work there, people would at least look at that company because they know you. You know, but you would probably never go work there because you wouldn't want to lend your reputation to that. But you
Exactly.
know,
Exactly. It's a two-edged sword for sure.
yeah,
Yeah.
right.
Now, one of the things that It's funny that you and I have been in the same circles for so long, and I don't think we actually had met each other face to face till this year. And the earliest face to face, if you will, similar to what we are right now, was during the Adorim summit earlier this year, that we were both hanging out in the same networking space, and we were just kind of talking. And I was just at that week soft launching WPSpeakers.com. And we were talking a little bit of, I think I had mentioned during that time too, about my experiences that I'd had at WordCamp Phoenix, which was that I gave a talk on underrepresentation and how we need to make more room at the table, all those kind of like platitudes that we say, make more room at the table, but how the table's is imaginary. So it can be as big as we need to, and how we need to be more inclusive in our space. And I talked about Black Press and how Black Press is a safe space for the Black people in the WordPress community, et cetera. And how after I gave that talk, three different people came up to me. They asked if there was a safe space like Black Press for the LGBTQ community, LGBTQ plus, I don't want to leave out the plus, community in WordPress. And there is safe spaces like that in tech, but there wasn't anything that I was able to discover in WordPress specifically. And at WordCamp Phoenix after party, sitting with people from the LGBTQ plus community, we came up with LGBTQ Press and LGBTQPress.com, which is still it's a work in progress because it's all voluntary and people, and I am a straight person, but I am absolutely an ally, which I think most people know that about me. And you said, hey, I'm an ally too. How can I help? And now I feel like you and I are the godparents in that group.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's strange for me to be, because I've been in technology my whole life, and I remember when I was the young guy in technology. And I still haven't quite accepted the fact that I may be one of the old guys in technology.
Same.
But the reality is, if you look at the calendar and you look at the year I was born and you do a little bit of math and you do an average, I'm probably, at that end of the spectrum. And so, yeah, I can see why, you would feel that way. And as far as allyship goes, I'm still learning. I have two
Same.
kids. I mean, I have 8 kids, but I have 2 kids who identify as queer. One of which has gone kind of through this discovery of they, them, him, she, the gender, identification. And then the other has just kind of gone through this sexual preference sort of, experience. And I, for me, it's been a tremendous learning experience. And I would say, once again, one of the things that equipped me to be able to deal with that, even though I've always thought of myself as open-minded and accepting and all of that stuff, was a couple of experiences that I had in the WordPress community, that made me more sensitive. And I put my foot in my mouth a couple of times. And I was so grateful to people who were members of the community for not like publicly shaming me, but pulling me aside and saying, hey, you may not have realized this because I know you're a good person. And I know that you probably didn't mean it. And I know that you can be a little sarcastic and you think things are funny that probably some people don't. But I want you to know how this affected me. And one experience was at WordCamp US in Philadelphia the first year. And that experience to this day is something that I keep in my mind, as I will never know, I will never be able to relate and understand what it is that people of this community are going through. But it's not my job to understand and relate. Okay. It is my job to refer to them. And if they tell me that I'm being this way, and they tell me, even if my immediate reaction is, well, I didn't mean anything by it, the reality is it impacted someone in a negative way because I was insensitive to it. And they're members of that community, so they're experts on that particular subject. I am not an expert. I am a neophyte. I'm learning. I'm of a generation where it was very simple. It was very binary. It was not just binary, but it was connected. There was no, there's sexual preference. and there's gender. It was all wrapped up under one. You're a guy. Marriage is between a man and a woman. You know, I did grow up in a fairly conservative, you know,
Same.
environment.
Yeah.
And so as a result, I've become very passionate. And I like to say I'm passionate about human rights, you know, so it's all inclusive. And it's not that, you know, I think one of the things that a lot of people don't understand, and this is where it gets all tied up, is, well, what about me? You know, that what about me? You know, I'm a white representing male, right? Okay. And I'm straight. Okay. So I am, quote unquote, part of the problem, right? Well, that hurts to hear that. I will tell you, it hurts to say to hear that, because I'm like, yeah, but what about, I mean, my gut reaction is to always say, what about me? But the reality is, until all of these marginalized communities that we're talking about get the same treatment that me as a white presenting male, you know, get, then I'm going to pay attention to that. It's no different than, you know, a customer contacting you because they're having an issue. Am I going to go to all the other customers who aren't having issues and saying, oh, well, you're part of this too. Here, let me address all of you, you know, or whatever. Or am I going to address the problem? That's how we're supposed to be wired, is we look at a problem and we address that, right? But for some reason, when it comes to these social issues and these human rights things, we suddenly do the what about me crap, and it actually makes me angry. And I'm like, well, what can I do more? You know, and I can use my position as a white presenting male who has white privilege and has all of these things. And I know this is getting into politics, and it's really easy for me to go down this road, but it doesn't take much, right? And I know I'm
I
not supposed to
hear you.
talk about these things, but I can use the powers that I have, whether they're fair or unfair, to stand up and be an ally in any way that I possibly can. But I'm always going to go to them and I'm going to say, what do you need from me? Not, this is what I think you need. You know,
The way I
because
think,
that's what I think we run into. We run into a problem there. I'm sorry to,
No, that's okay. The way I think about allyship, and I've been thinking about this a lot. You know, I do a lot of work with underrepresented in tech. I talk with Allie Nimmons a lot about these things, is that to be an ally is to open the door, but not to walk through it and go, hey, I'm here. It's to open the door and let other people and continue to hold it for other people to walk through it so they can be there. You know? So,
You
yeah.
know, and I had a conversation. So Gina's daughter is also gay, and hopefully I won't get in trouble for saying that. I doubt I will, but she's very open about it. And her daughter was dating this black girl. And so she was marginalized on many levels, right? So she's black, she's female, and she's lesbian, right? And we had many, many conversations. They lived with us, and I got to know her really, really well, and we're still very close. And one of the things that she said to me when I was saying to her, you know, it's, I actually said to her, I said, you know, I need you to educate me on some of this stuff. And she looked at me and she says, you don't understand, Mark. She says, sometimes we're just tired. We're tired of trying to educate. We're tired of trying to be heard. We're just tired. If you want to figure something out, look it up. That's what Google is for, you know? And I thought my
Read a
immediate
book.
reaction was, yeah, my immediate reaction to that was, wow, so you don't want me to learn this. But then, you know, I thought about it and I could see, like, in her eyes, like, if you actually have these conversations with people and you see how fatigued they are, they don't have the mental bandwidth to try to set us straight. So sometimes when they go on Twitter or whatever it is called these days, you know, but when they go on and you see this public, like, lambasting of somebody, it's because that's all the mental energy they have left, you know. And it's one of those things where you just approach it with grace. And yeah, it makes you feel like crap, but it kind of should. Right? I mean,
Absolutely.
so and so so anyway, yeah, you know, seeing people face to face and seeing how it impacts them, that's when you realize, look, you know, I'm not an expert on this. I will never be an expert on this because I can only empathize to a certain degree, which is you're a human being. I can empathize to the point where you're human, but I can't, you know, you might like onions. I don't like onions. Okay. I will never understand why someone likes onions. But I can accept that they like onions.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you can
So,
even serve them onions sometimes.
and I do that all the time. I cook at home and
Exactly.
I serve onions to the people who like
Yeah, like
onions. Oh.
I can be at the same table for sure, for sure. Well, let me move out of politics, which it's not
Sorry,
political.
I am really
No,
sorry to have gone down that
actually, I don't think of human rights as political, so I think it's all good.
Yeah.
But I was just
Okay.
making
Well,
fun
that's
because
good.
you said
Yeah.
it, so I was just making fun of that.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Yeah.
I
No,
want to move in.
it's
I want to move into the rapid fire questions. So I'm
okay.
gonna hit you
Uh-oh, here we
quick.
go.
And hopefully you have answers for all these. We'll see. So
Okay.
the first question is, what are two or three must-have plugins that you would recommend to somebody building their own website?
Well, I would definitely say if you're building three or more websites, I'd definitely say MainWP, of course, just because it's really, you know, cool. And I'm not a super, I don't spend a lot of time really doing a lot of WordPress work anymore. I have always been kind of a fan of just like having your own SMTP mailer rather than using the built-in WordPress mail. I don't necessarily have a specific SMTP. A good form plugin is always, you know, an important thing. And you know, I'm not going to plug anyone. I have one that I prefer to use, but
Same.
you know, most form plugins are actually pretty decent. You know, they have the drag and drop. You can set them up, and you know, they're fairly intuitive, and you can get a form going in 5 minutes or less. And there was one more thing that I was going to say, and now I forgot what it was.
Good
I'm a little late.
SEO,
Yeah,
security.
SEO. Yeah. You know, I'm a big believer, and this is, you know, from the coming from the position of, you know, I also work with a web hosting company. I think security should be handled at the web hosting level. You know, it's not that I don't think that some of these security plugins do an okay job, but a lot of times, you know, by the time they find a problem, your site's infected, you know. So you kind of want to do security at this, you know, at the server level. And while I do recognize that you can have as many, if they're well-written plugins, you can have as many as you want on a WordPress site, and you know, and that's fine. I'm still about efficiency. If this is something you're going to put on every WordPress site, if you can do it at the server level, do it at the server level.
Yeah, it makes sense.
But there was one other thing that I thought, so form plugin, I don't remember what the last thing was,
No
but
worries. You can circle back to
there
it.
was a third one. I'll probably wake up tonight, like in the middle of the night when I can't sleep. I'll be like,
Oh, that's
that's what it
what
was.
it was. For sure. So tell us about a mentor that you may have had in WordPress during your WordPress journey, whether it was somebody that was officially a mentor or somebody that maybe took you under their wing or somebody that you kind of admired and tried to emulate.
I would absolutely say Greg Franklin,
I had a
absolutely.
feeling. I had a feeling.
I mean, I joke about not just the fact that we're the oldest relationship in WordPress or the oldest partnership, but he's actually the oldest relationship I have. I mean, I've, you know, not been super lucky in personal relationships, but Greg has always been there. So I'm not, I mean, I his the level of loyalty and the level of his desire to help, and he will help anybody. He doesn't just help me because I'm a friend and we go way back and we have formed this, you know, kind of brotherhood and all that. He will help anybody. He thrives on it. And absolutely, I mean, it's far and away, Greg is 100% like it's a no-brainer. And that's saying something considering how many great people there are in our community. So
True. That's awesome. Well,
I
who's
probably would
somebody?
not be where I am in WordPress if it wasn't for Greg.
I get that. That's awesome. Maybe I'll meet him sometime.
I'm sure you will.
Who is somebody in the WordPress community that you admire and why? But you can't say Greg.
I know I can't say Greg. I admire a lot of people. I admire Matt at Site District because he's a level of engineer that I've never met before. Okay. And I've met a lot of really incredible engineers. Okay. I admire Dennis over at MainWP because I look at the way that he treats the team. He's working with the same team of people he started with in 2000. I mean, these people have stuck, and it's because he treats them well. So I admire them. The first person that really tripped my trigger when it came to the WordPress community, Brandon Dove. Brandon Dove was the first person that I saw actually offering help to somebody and giving. And it's once again, it was at that WordCamp San Diego. And I was like, this is just incredible. So, Brandon Dove and Jeff Zinn, they're really just super smart, giving, caring people. And then, on a grander scale, I admire you for pushing the human rights thing. And I don't know how you pull off all these groups and all these projects and WP speakers and this and that and the other thing and having a podcast and doing a podcast with Kathy and all this stuff that you do. And I'm
It's
like,
fun. It's all fun.
I know, and it does make it easier because it's fun, but
Yes.
I still don't know how you do
Oh,
it. You know,
thank you.
it's so I admire you, and I'm not just kissing up. It's like, one of those things where it's like she just keeps going and she keeps getting involved and doing things for people, and that's really
Oh,
awesome,
I have this huge
So
FOMO. I do.
is
I
that
always
what
have
it
this.
is?
It is. I
Is
just
that
like
what it is?
opportunities come and I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll try that. But yeah, we'll see.
Mm, yeah.
And there's an expiration, right? So like I'm not getting younger. There's an expiration and I don't know when that is. I could be around for 5 more years. I could be around for 20 more years, but I realize
Right.
that I'm on the downward trend of my life, right? So I'm over 50. I just turned 55. And there's a limited time where I'll still have the ability
Yeah.
to be influential and make an impact. And so I want to make sure that I do as much as I can with the resources that I have. So,
Yeah,
anyway.
no, you're definitely a seize the day person. I mean, if anybody in the community is a seize the day person, it's definitely you.
Oh,
I mean,
so thank you.
yeah.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. What's something that you'd still like to learn in WordPress, but that you haven't tackled yet?
Not necessarily specifically WordPress. I'm still learning an awful lot about security and performance. And that's one of the things that has become kind of at the forefront of a lot of what I do. Security is something that I am learning about in both of the companies that I represent. And performance is a big deal. And so I'd like to learn more about not just what to look for, but how it works. I always like learning the gears behind it. Like I said, I like to tinker, and I don't feel like I have enough knowledge of those mechanical parts that go into all of that. So I'd like to learn a little more about that.
Very cool. What's one of the biggest WordPress mistakes you've ever made, and what did you learn from it? I know people either like they have something right at the top, they're like, oh, I'm so embarrassed, and they're like, huh, what would I count as a mistake? So.
You know what? I hate to go back to what I was talking about earlier, but the biggest WordPress mistake that I made was when I put my foot in my mouth with somebody that was in a community that I had very little to do with. And I made a joke that I thought was funny. It was funny to me, and I did not realize how it is. So that was a big WordPress mistake to me. And it is something that has impacted the direction of of how I think since. So yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's good. That's and it's self-reflective, which I love about that answer too. Very good. So let's look at the reverse of that is what is your proudest WordPress moment?
I am very proud of the work we did with ServerPress. I am proud of there's a lot of good things that came out of that. Probably one of the biggest quote unquote crowning achievements for me was when I got to speak at WordCamp US and I spoke about kind of my fitness journey within the WordPress community. The reason that that was so impactful, or the reason that I really like that, is I had so many people come up to me afterwards. I've never had more things like quotes from my thing tweeted. And I've had people come up to me and actually, like, they see me and they give me a hug and they say, that talk is what got me going down my fitness journey. That, you know. And I actually had one person who's very prominent who went there, and he was in tears when he saw me, when you know. And I thought, this is what this is about. And so that's probably, you know, yeah, it's a little bit about me, but it really was so much just like recognizing that I've been fortunate enough to have, like, even if it's just a small amount of influence to be able to inspire somebody to live a better life,
I love
it
that.
was just, yeah.
That's
So that's
wonderful.
probably, yeah. Yeah.
That would make me proud too, for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Good for you. If you weren't in tech, so not working with web and web tech and all of those kinds of things, what's another career that you might like to attempt?
When I was younger, you're gonna laugh, I wanted to be Jacques Cousteau.
Oh, that's so cool,
That's what
though.
I wanted to be, an underwater photographer. I wanted to just, you know, just this idea that two-thirds of the world is covered in water. And, you know, we probably know more about space than we know about what's in our oceans. And that whole unexplored, like right here in our own backyard thing, always just fascinated me. So that probably would have been,
And for our younger audience, Google him. You need to Google Jacques Cousteau.
Jacques Cousteau. Yes.
Fantastic. Did you know that John Denver's song Calypso is about Jacques Cousteau?
I did not know that.
Now you'll have
I
to
did
Google
not
that and
know that.
listen to that too. Yeah, good
I
song.
will have to listen to that. I don't know that song. I'm not, I'm my mom listened to John Denver when I was growing up, but I was
Yeah,
not,
same.
you know,
Yeah,
I've never been a big, I'm gonna get killed for this, but I'm not a big country fan. I know that he's
that's
not
okay.
really, really, but
No, it was 70s music. His
yeah, it was.
Cousteau's boat was called the Calypso. So there you go.
That's true. I do remember that. Yeah, yeah,
So,
yeah,
I know
yeah.
little trivia things just float around in my
I
head.
thought it was about WordPress Calypso, but I guess that didn't, that was too early for that. So,
Too early, too
yeah,
early. Good
too
one, though.
early.
Nice connection. What's something on your bucket list?
I had a great answer for this earlier, and now I forgot what it was. On my bucket list, I would like to, with one of my kids who's really into hiking, I would like to do, is it the Inca Trail? Is that what it is? That goes to Machu Picchu in Peru. I've been to Machu Picchu, but I took the train. From, you know, I would love to do that with him. He just turned 18, and I just think it would be kind of like the coolest thing. But that is something that is on my bucket list. And then the other bucket list thing is, I actually kind of would like to learn to play the bass guitar.
Oh, cool. I love that. That's
Yeah.
cool.
So,
Very nice. Show us or tell us about something, a hidden talent that you have that the WordPress community might not know about.
I can't show you, but I really, I haven't done it in years. There's two things that I really like. I like woodworking, and I like working on cars.
Oh, cool.
I years ago, I helped a friend restore, and I'm talking, we stripped it down to the chassis and built it back up, a 1934 Ford pickup. And, you know, I like those things that you actually have a visual like thing you can touch and feel.
Yeah.
And it's a thing of beauty. It's something that was the result of someone's imagination. And I got to put my hands on that and actually, do something with it and make it work. And
That's
so I
awesome.
don't know that that's necessarily a talent, but it's definitely
Yeah, it
a,
is.
yeah, it's definitely.
If you ever restore a Mercedes, you'd have to call it the Mercedes-Benz Cayenne.
Yeah. I've never heard
Not.
that one before. Yeah.
But it was the first time I ever said it.
No, actually, when that was one of the things that we joked about was like, well, when I was of the childbearing age, and of course I was never a childbearing person, but
Yeah.
that was kind of a joke, was if we have a girl, we're gonna name her Mercedes, so
There
she'd
you
be
go.
Mercedes game. But that sounds a little pretentious, I
It's
guess.
so fun. It's funny though. I like it.
Yeah, it is funny.
How do people find you? If they have questions, they want to connect with you, how do people do that online?
I am on Twitter at Mark Benzak, and that's MarkBenzak. I'm on LinkedIn, Mark Benzakane. I actually have a website which is not complete, which is where I talk about some of the life coaching stuff that I do, and that's markbenzakane.com. And what am I missing? Facebook. You can find me on
Yeah.
Facebook. You can find me at Main WP. You can find me at Site District. You can find
You're
me wandering around the WordPress community. You can find me in the WordPress
not
Slack.
hiding.
I'm all over. Yeah, I'm not in hiding. I have times where I want to hide, but I'm
Same.
not in hiding. Yeah.
So if you're listening to this episode and you want to connect with Mark, go to wpcoffeetalk.com, find Mark's episode, and all of these links will be in the show notes along with the transcript of today's episode. Mark, thank you so much for taking the time out of your
Well,
Saturday
thank you for
to
having
join
me.
me. It was nice to get to know you even better, and I look forward to continuing our friendship after we are no longer recording this episode. So thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for
Me
being
too.
here.
Thank you so much.
My
Appreciate
pleasure.
it.
We'll see everybody on the next episode of WP Coffee Talk.